Hey everyone, you're listening to Stutter Talk. I'm Karen Herring, and I'm here with Joel Cordy.
Hello.
And Roisin McManus.
Good morning.
And we're the B Team. And if you'd like to contact Stutter Talk, you can write to us at stuttertalk@stuttertalk.com, or you can call at 206-666-5340. And if you'd like to just contact the B Team, you can write us at bteam@stuttertalk.com. So to start off, I think we're just going to do some sort of catching up and see what we've all been up to the past month or so. Roisin, do you want to start?
Sure. I've been good. I've been working and also I'm enjoying this summer in the recently arrived heat in Brooklyn. Something that I've been kind of, nothing like big has really happened to me, just stuttering wise. I had a patient last week who was really, when I first went into the room to meet her, was really upset. And she thought that the nursing care during the day was really bad and that the hospital was not taking care of her correctly, and she was being ignored, and she had all these complaints, and I could tell that she was just someone who was really feeling really vulnerable. And I met her within like 3 minutes of meeting her. I just like asked her, how are you? Like, how are you feeling? She already declared that she didn't like me. And, you know, we have like some crazy, like some people are just crazy. Mm-hmm. And that she didn't like me and that she didn't want me taking care of her. I've never like bumped into that before, and I wasn't really sure. Like, I was like, oh my god, first I was like so hurt. I was like, what did I do? Oh my god. And then I walked out of the room, and I actually didn't even end up telling my supervisor, because it was just sort of like anyone who walked into the room, she was going to say the same thing. But I found that after my initial reaction, her saying that she didn't like me and didn't want me to take care of her, which is a pretty big rejection, didn't even really faze me. And I sort of was just like, well, like she's going to get to know me throughout the next couple of days, and I'm going to be taking care of her. So, you know, like if she likes me, she likes me.
Okay.
And then I sort of was thinking about that the next day, and I was surprised that her saying that didn't hurt me more, because usually I would link it back to like I was stuttering when I was talking to her, or like she doesn't think I'm experienced enough, or a whole list of things. But I think that maybe, basically, I think that maybe being a person who stutters and then going through therapy and going through like desensitization and going through just the whole kind of, I don't want to say healing, but like the kind of process where you learn to like live effectively with stuttering has like kind of like toughen me up to the point where if I get like a weird vibe from someone that they don't like me, or that they're like, you know, turned off by me in some way, it's easier for me now to like realize that it's not necessarily about me. And I think that's a tool that like I learned through stuttering therapy that most people in normal life might not be able to cultivate.
Okay.
I'm not sure if that makes any sense.
No, it does. Oh, yeah. So do you think that is kind of a byproduct of your experience with stuttering. You don't think necessarily that you would have developed that skill on your own if you didn't stutter?
I think I probably would have eventually, but, like, I wouldn't have had, like, that much practice.
Okay.
With it. And, like, because with stuttering, it's like if someone... I sort of, like, have this feeling all the time where if someone has a weird reaction to my stuttering in any situation, especially if I'm going to be, like, working with them or, like, seeing them over a longer amount of time, I kind of know that I'm comforted by the fact that, like, they'll get to know me and that their initial response doesn't really mean much.
Yeah.
And I think that before I had stuttering therapy, like, that initial response meant everything.
Okay.
And I think that a lot of people, I think it would be harder for me, even if it wasn't about stuttering, if someone reacted to me because of, you know, something I said or because of, I don't know, something that wasn't really related to stuttering, it would be harder for me to, like, have the wisdom not to let that make me really insecure if I hadn't had so much practice.
I love how you keep saying practice. I think that's such a cool way of looking at all those, like, negative experiences and negative thoughts, that the way you can just turn that around and be like, practice. I think that's really,
so that's
really
basically
cool.
Basically what it ends up being, you know, because you just do it so many times. Like, you have to, like, deal with, like, that initial rejection so many times, and then you have, like, positive relationships after. So you have to just kind of learn that, like, it's not that, like, what's the word I'm looking for? It's not that, like, final, fair judgment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know what you mean. That's one thing I've kind of noticed in the past few months is when I meet someone new. I remember years ago being obsessed with, like, their reaction and just putting so much stock into that, and now it's like that whole thing in the back of your mind, you're just thinking that ultimately if you spend time with the person, they're gonna, you know, you have confidence that they're going to like you because that's what's happened in the past. And that initial reaction, if they look at you weird or their eyes get big, like, I kind of note it, but it's not, I mean, this isn't always true, but it just, a lot of times it's just not, it's not evocative at all for me because it's just,
yeah.
It's that thing. It's like it's just something that's happened so many times. It's just not, something that is capable of producing a strong emotion.
It also took me a long time to realize that I can't assume anything, and, like, just because I think they are thinking badly about me because I'm stuttering a lot, or because I'm young and maybe I shouldn't, you know, I don't have much experience in a profession, or I can't ever know what actually someone is thinking.
Hmm.
Yeah. I also have some kind of positive things to share, but kind of positive in a weird way. So for the last, like, 2 months or so, I've been working with a life coach.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of got bored with it, so I'm not doing it right now, at least for the summertime. But one of my friends is training to become a life coach, and he just talks about it all the time. So I decided to, I would try it, because there's like a lot of these people that are training to be life coaches, so you can get coaching for like a really reduced rate. And I was like, yeah, you know.
What is a life coach mean?
I gotta explain that. Okay, so they, I'm probably gonna really botch this description. It's not psychotherapy. Essentially, what happens is they help you figure out what you think is important and how you should be investing your time, because based on what you think is important, so that the decisions that you make are not, you know, just like random stuff due to circumstance, and they're actually reflective of what you want to do and what you want to be spending your time on. I don't know if that's like I don't know if that's like the actual definition, but that's really how I interpreted it.
Mm-hmm.
So, in going through this process, you, at least like the first couple of sessions, there's like, there's this exercise you do called the Wheel of Life. And it's like all these different aspects of your life, like financial, social, all this different stuff, like health. And then like you rate yourself from 1 to 10 on where you think you are succeeding at that point, and then that aspect of your life. And then when you're done, you look at the spots that you rated yourself lower, and you talk about if you want to increase those areas and how you would to do that. And anyway, so at the beginning, I kind of talked a lot about how I wanted to spend some time on, you know, working on stuttering. That, or at least, and actually, when I said the stuttering thing, that was part of a separate exercise where you're just filling out a questionnaire. And as I kind of went through it a little bit, and I realized that I really didn't care to work on stuttering as much as I thought I did initially. Like, I feel like a lot of times I'll come on the show and be like, you know, talking about how, you know, I'm changing or I want to change, and either it'll be some success or some perceived failure, dependent on that, on how my stuttering is and how I think I'm controlling it. But I realized that I'm not really been working on my stuttering a lot over the past few months, and it's not because I'm lazy or because I, you know, I'm a bad person. It's because I've been deciding that I would rather do other things. And instead of feeling bad about that, at least for right now, I think it's okay. And actually, I think it's kind of a good thing to realize that, rather than to feel kind of bad about that.
I think that's really neat. I feel like from talking to a bunch of people who stutter, I feel like it's almost like a cycle that a lot of people go through. Like, once they sort of seek help for stuttering or become more open about stuttering, it almost like consumes them for a bit, and it's like the most important thing, and it's all you want to talk about or think about. And then it seems like at some point it's just sort of like you've talked about it enough, and you just don't, it's not the most important thing in your life anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's cool.
Yeah, I agree. It's like you you're going through this like phase of hyper acceptance. And I remember for a long time, you know, you'd almost like feel weird about people who really wanted to, you know, work on reducing their stuttering, and like really focusing on that, because you'd think, wow, you should just, you know, not care so much about that, at least like in the early on stages. I'm not saying this exactly right, I don't think.
So what did the life coach, like, do they advise, like, did she advise you not to spend that much energy thinking about the stuttering?
Well, that's kind of...
Is that important to you?
Oh, sorry. Say that last part again. I was interrupting you very rudely.
if it doesn't seem that important to you.
Okay. Well, that's the kind of the cool thing is they don't really tell you to do anything per se. Well, they do give you homework based on the conversation.
They don't tell you to do anything.
Well, okay.
Except for the homework.
No, but I mean, it's all about they ask you questions, and then they listen to you to let you figure out what your solutions are. Because really, you know, if you just take the time to think about stuff, you can usually figure out a pretty good plan. It's just sometimes hard to take that time, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So as I was, you know, she was asking me, you know, what I wanted to work on this week, it was just never stuttering. It was always something else.
Hmm.
Like time and time, like week after week. So then, you know, the homework would be based on, you know, what I wanted to work on. And then since I didn't ever feel like I wanted to do anything stuttering related, that wasn't coming up. But again, this was just reflective of like the last 2 months. So, if it would have been earlier in the year when we were on our voluntary stuttering rampage and I was doing the life coaching, that probably would have been a part of it, because obviously I was concerned about stuttering and was trying to do something about it at that point.
Yeah.
That makes me sound like I'm never trying to do something about it. I always have to like throw in that caveat. I think, you know, it's like if you don't stutter, I think it's easy to think that, well, people who stutter should be trying to do something about it all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it's like, you have a problem, you know? Fix it.
But it's almost like that there's never a time when I'm really doing nothing about it.
That's
but
true.
It's just like, you know, it's like always there because it's always happening.
Yeah, you always have to do in something. The present.
But like there are definitely times, yeah. It's strange because it's like I never have a week or a month where like it's not something I think about.
Mm-hmm.
But there are definitely times where like that thinking is just kind of routine and like sort of not interrupting my. It's not really concerning, but I'm still like thinking about working on it. But it's not really a concern. It's just like, okay, yeah. That's my baseline.
Yeah.
That's my baseline. I love it.
All right, Karen. You need to give us an update.
On your life.
Wait, I got a quick question for you guys. Are you guys, like, in the same room right now because you live together?
No, we're in separate rooms.
Oh, you are? Okay.
Because it could figure out how to make that work.
Yeah.
Because I don't have a headset and that whole thing.
Yeah. Gotcha.
We should think of some sort of code regime where we can just, like, knock on the wall when we want to say something and we don't want Joel to know. So, like, one knock will be like, what?
Like, that was lame.
Just say.
Two knocks.
Karen, you do realize it wouldn't be that hard for the mic to pick up.
Whatever, Joel.
A sleepy kisser, a pretty war. With feelings hid, she begs me not to miss her.
So, yeah, I guess main things that are going on in my life are that I moved to New York and that I live with Roisin now. Which has been super fun. Lots of stuttering going on in the apartment. I've also been doing a lot of volunteer stuff with the organization Our Time. They had their preteen shows last weekend, and this weekend are the teen shows. So it's just been super fun being around the kids, like, all day, every day.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, like, really interesting to be around so many kids who stutter when they're not there for therapy. Like, they're talking and they're stuttering, and some kids who go to Our Time, I guess, have gone to therapy in the past, but some of them have not. And it's just, like, really interesting to see, this might sound weird, but to see, like, all the different, like, secondary behaviors and how, like, everyone sort of stutters in their own way and sort of copes with it in their own way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, like, I guess from being in school for speech, it's so interesting to, I mean, I've been involved with Our Time for a long time, but sort of, I guess, since I've gone to grad school for speech, sort of coming back again, it's just really cool, again, to see, how these kids can be doing so many secondary behaviors or stuttering with so much tension and that being fine.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like anyone's there to correct that.
Yeah.
It's just sort of like if they want to get on stage and stomp their foot, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just been really, really neat to be around these kids. They inspire me a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there is something beautiful about that, you know. You do think at some point they'll, you know, it, like as people get older, they become more aware of different things that are concurrent with their stuttering, or at least that happened to me. Well, it took a while, but. But it's like, I can see what you're saying, that is just a good thing to see people comfortable with themselves and comfortable in their own shoes.
Yeah, I just think it's so cool that, like, the environment of our time just sort of accepts however people want to stutter and whatever they want to do. And it's never brought to anyone's attention. It's never, you know, really talked about, like, oh, you should really try to stop that. It's just sort of like that's how they talk right now. And maybe some point in their life they'll want to change that.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe they won't.
I love that because it's like, you know, when you're growing up and you're getting therapy or whatever, it's like, I don't remember ever experiencing, or I don't remember an environment that was like that. And I think it would have been really nice for me.
For sure.
So, I think
that I also think it would be hard, though. There. Like, I don't know if as a younger child, if I would have, like, I was so embarrassed of stuttering. I don't think I would have, like, it would have been so hard to be in a room with all these other kids who stutter.
For how long, though?
Yeah, I don't know. It would have, like, forced me to confront it, and that would have been really hard at first.
See, I've thought about that before, too, because I think that if something like that was around, or, you know, my parents suggested I go to it, I would have fought tooth and nail against it. But I know that right when I got there and started hanging out with other people who stutter and saw that there's other cool people who stutter, it would have been like a complete 180.
I was actually when I was in 11th grade going to speech pathologist, I was actually told by her that I should go see a Our Time show.
Oh, cool.
And at that point, I was young enough still to still like be in their shows.
Oh.
But I never went. Yeah. I mean, she said it, and I was like, "Oh, great!" And yeah. Then, I mean, it just was too hard for me to go.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you haven't been exposed to it, it seems like a pretty weird and scary thing.
Yeah.
How is the interaction between the kids? Like, if someone is really stuttering a lot, like having a really hard time, how do the other kids? It's like, do you ever have issues with people making fun of other people?
No, it's like such an awesome place. I think from the start, Taro has made it like very, very clear that like the number one rule of our time is like not to interrupt anyone and give them your attention when they're talking. And like, I guess like that's his main goal with the kids, you know, to just sort of respect each other and give everyone a chance. I don't know. The kids are awesome. Like they just act so mature. Like when someone's having, when they're talking and they're stuttering a lot, I feel like they would sit there all day.
That's so cool.
Really neat to see.
I actually saw the show, as Karen knows, the preteen show last weekend, and I was just like, I came out of it just sort of like so impressed by the resilience of the kids. Like there were scenes where a kid in the scene would be stuttering for like so long, and having so much trouble speaking, and then he would like get through the word or get through the scene, and he would just be still like so happy to be on stage, and like you could tell that like that block hadn't defeated him. Where like in any other situation, a kid on stage, or a kid in front of other people who everyone's waiting for him to like talk, had that much trouble,
mm-hmm.
It would just be so hard for them to brush it off. And these kids are just so like, they're still so just happy to be on stage.
Yeah.
And it was so cool because it was so just not the experience that I had growing up. It's so cool. It's so cool.
Yeah, it's really neat there.
Well,
The other thing going on in my life is that I start an internship next week at the American Institute for Stuttering. So that will be really fun.
Yay.
Lots more stuttering stuff going on in my life.
Many people will stutter in your life, Karen.
How long are you there for, Karen?
8 weeks.
Cool. So are you doing, will there be like two intensive programs going on, or how is that schedule? I know it's like kind of always,
you know, I'm not sure. The original schedule was that I would be doing two intensives, and then my start date got moved up a bit, so I don't actually know.
Okay,
maybe I'm still doing two. If not one and a bunch of individual clients.
Cool. So you have to tell us, I saw on Facebook that you went to the AIS
gala. Oh yeah.
And you got to meet Matt Damon and what's that guy's name? John Kalaszynski?
I'm not sure how to pronounce his last name.
Krasinski.
So much fun. It was awesome.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it was just really, really cool. I mean, that obviously was really, really neat to be able to meet them and, I mean, chit-chat with them for like 2 minutes or so.
Yeah.
But I think the gala itself was really cool. They had speeches by a bunch of clients that were really neat. One of the young girls that gave a talk said this one thing that I just loved and I want to use. At the beginning of her speech, she said, like, during the speech, I'm going to be multitasking. I'm going to be stuttering and giving a speech. I like loved it.
That's pretty brilliant.
It's so funny.
Yeah.
Like to think that you're multitasking with everything that you do.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing.
It's so cool when you see kids that are just so good at being a person who stutters at such a young age and being so well
it's crazy.
Adjusted.
Crazy, yeah.
And you just think, how do they do that?
Yeah. It's pretty sweet.
So why was Matt Damon there? Matt Damon, and that's
Emily
just what he does.
Blunt is on the AIS board. I guess she stuttered at one point in her life. I don't think she identifies herself anymore as a person who stutters, but she definitely struggled with stuttering at some point.
Mm-hmm. I've heard she does occasionally.
Okay. So she was the, like, mistress of ceremonies, or I don't know the correct term, but she basically, like, was the MC for the night.
Okay.
So her husband was John, how do you say his last name, Marcin? Krasinski. And I guess, so that's why he was there.
Mm-hmm.
And then Emily just did a movie with Matt Damon.
Oh.
So I guess they've become friendly.
Okay.
So she brought him as, I guess, like, her special guest.
The Adjustment Bureau.
What?
That's the movie.
Purple.
Yeah, I'm kind of a big Matt Damon fan. I think he's great.
What was really cool about it is that no one knew he was coming, like even the AIS staff.
Wow.
What?
Emily Blunt said she was going to bring a guest, but didn't say who. So everyone was just, like, at the, like, the cocktail hour, whatever, just, like, hanging out. And then all of a sudden, like, Matt Damon, like, struts in. Just, like, crazy.
What was he doing the whole time? Being Matt Damon?
During the, like hors d'oeuvre time or whatever, like, outside, I guess, so he, like, him and Emily Blunt and John... I'm just going to call him John. We're doing, like, a lot of press stuff.
Okay.
And then once we went into, like, where the gala, like, meal and presentations were, they were just sort of, like, sitting at their tables.
Just cool. Being themselves.
Just being themselves.
That would have been terrible if I would have went. Yeah, because I just would have been, like, staring at them. Like, look at them.
I've seen them
in movies. I feel like I know them, but I don't.
Yeah. I'm sure they get that a lot, though, right?
Yeah,
I would think
probably.
Like, anywhere they went, they'd just get, like, stared down.
Yeah. Because they're famous.
Yeah.
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 Well, what do you think? You guys got anything else you want to talk about, or should we wrap this up?
We can wrap it up.
All right. Karen, you're our...
the MC.
Yeah.
If you will.
All right. Well, you guys are listening to Stutter Talk with the B Team with Karen, Joel, and Roisin. If you'd like to contact Stutter Talk in general, you can write to stuttertalk@stuttertalk.com. If you have more specific B Team directed questions or comments or suggestions, you can contact us at bteam@stuttertalk.com. And to leave a voicemail for Stutter Talk, you can call 206-666-5340. All right, I'll see you guys, talk to you guys later.
Yeah, well, actually, we're doing two shows this month, so I'll talk to you guys next week.
All right, bye.
Bye.